We are holding on page 184 in Brachos, Oiskuf Chof Dalin. The Mishnah talked about various things that a person sees them and makes a bracha. The first one was when a person sees a place where Nisim happened to the Jewish people. That led us into a discussion about that. And then we end up digressing into the whole matter of dreams, which took up most of the last couple of blocks. So now continuing on that topic of Birkas Ar'iya, of brachas that you say when you see something. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, Haroya Merkulis. If a person sees Merkulis, Merkulis is an Avodah Zarah that the Romans and the Greeks used to worship. Tosfos, in fact, talks about in some places that may have not been the real name of it. Tosfos brings that the real name of it may have been Kulis, which is actually a word that means to praise, and the Chachamim switched it to Merkulis, where Mer means the opposite of, so it means the opposite of praise. Poshet Pshat, it's probably Mercury or some related thing like that. Anyway, a person sees a statue of that or a pile of stones of that, then he should say a bracha that Hashem is so patient with those who violate his word, that even though the Ovid Avodah Zarah are violating what Hashem wants and they're worshiping these Avodah Zarahs, nevertheless, Hashem is patient with them and he doesn't destroy them. Rabbi, if you want to have your conversation, maybe you have it someplace else. Thank you. Why Dafka are we mentioning Merkulis? So, of course, one obvious explanation is because that was a common Avodah Zarah that was worshipped in those days, but the same thing would apply to any other. There are Mephoshim who have an interesting point on it, though, which is we find in the Gemara and other in various places that the way they used to worship Merkulis was they would throw rocks at it. So, therefore, the idea would be that every time you pass by a Merkulis, it's like a new statue, because yeah, now you have a pile of rocks is bigger than it was last time. Therefore, you would make a bracha on it, but not any other one where it stands the same way. Tosfos says something similar. They don't mention the particular thing about the rocks with Merkulis, but they make the point that only if it's something new, if it's something that you see that has been there a long time, then you don't make the particular bracha on it. Based on that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't make the bracha because, unfortunately, we live among the Goyim and we see their getchkes all the time. Next, Makim Shenekru Menor Avodas Kechavim. If a person sees a place from where Avodah Zarah was uprooted, Omer, that he says a bracha Baruch Sha'akar Avodas Kechavim Min Amakim Azeh or Me'artzenu. He says, thanks Hashem who removed Avodah Zarah, who uprooted Avodah Zarah from this place or from our land. Really, both of them are correct. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, you say Me'artzenu. If it's in Chutz La'aretz, you say Min Amakim Azeh. And either way, you continue Hashem Sha'akar Min Amakim Azeh. Just as Hashem, you uprooted the Avodah Zarah from this place. Kach Yakam Mikol Mekomis. The same way, Hashem should uproot it from every other place, Mikol Mekomis Yisrael, from all other places of Jews. That actually may have been added by the censors. I have a feeling that the original Girsa was with Mikol Mekomis from all places, but the censors didn't particularly like that. Anyway, V'hoshiv Leva V'dehem La'avdecha, and you finish the bracha, you should return, you should bring back the hearts of those who worship these Avodah Zarahs to worship you. Marshall, by the way, points out that If this is you're talking about, you see a place where Avodah Zarah was removed. Now, we know there's a mitzvah to remove Avodah Zarah from everywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Maharsha says, if you would actually have the opportunity to remove Avodah Zarah from some place in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't be saying this bracha sha'akar Avodah Zarah ma'atzein. Fakir, you'd be making a birkas on mitzvahs, that Hashem gave us the mitzvah, Hashem kedishanim mitzvahs of Tzivanu, to get rid of Avodah Zarah. But here we're talking about just where you see a place where it was removed from. The post can talk about, by the way, that by the same token, if it was removed from one place and placed in a different place, in the place where it was taken away from, you'd say the bracha sha'okar, and in the place where it was put, you would say shenosan erachapayim. Continues the braisa. Over chutz la'aretz ein sarach loyma kein, or v'hoshav leiv avdehen la'avdecha. If you're in chutz la'aretz, you don't have to add that part about to return the hearts of those who worship Avodah Zarah to serve you, because most of the people there are goyim anyhow. So what's the difference? They're not going to be going and serving Hashem anyhow. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, after chutz la'aretz sarach loyma kein. Reb Shimon Elazar says, absolutely, in chutz la'aretz you need to say it. In this guy, because in the future the goyim are going to become Gerim. The Navi says I'll turn that all the nations will have a clear language and they'll all call on the name of Hashem. So yes, the goyim are going to recognize Hashem and worship him as well. So it's certainly necessary to mention it in the bracha. And in fact, the halacha is like that. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rav Hamnuna. If a person sees wicked Bavel, namely he sees the ancient city of Bavel, he sees the ruins, partially the ruins of the city of Bavel. Now, you know, you have Bavel is sort of like New York in the sense that you have a city of that name and also a country of that name, the same way as you have a city and a state of New York. Most of the time in the Gemara, when we mean Bavel, we mean the country of Bavel. Here we're not. Here we're talking about the actual city of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar's capital city. So when you see the ruins of it, Rav Amnuna says, you have to make five different brachas as you pass by different landmarks and different sites, different things that you see over there. Marasha points out the reason we're calling it Harasha, because they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, that's why you make a special bracha to thank Hashem for destroying it. Marasha says, by the same token, one day when the same thing happens to Rome, who destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash, then yeah, no question about it, says Marasha, we're going to be making the same kind of brachas when we see the ruins of Rome as well. So what are the five brachas? Number one, Rav Bavel, when he sees the actual city of Bavel, Omer Baruch Shehechru Bavel Harishah, then he makes the bracha to thank Hashem for destroying wicked Bavel, which deserves that for destroying the Beis Hamikdash. You have many Nevuos of Yeshaya and Yirmiya and others who say that in fact is going to happen, so you're thanking Hashem that he actually made it come true. Rav Beis Hashem Nebuchadnezzar, when he sees Nebuchadnezzar's palace, the ruins of that, then he makes a special bracha thanking Hashem for destroying his palace. Which also those Nevi'im talk about that's going to happen. If he sees the pit with the lions, or he sees the fiery furnace. Now the lions we have with Daniel was saved from them. It's interesting, actually, the way the psukim makes it sound as though that took place in Shushan, but here the Gemara is assuming, evidently, that it took place in the city of Bavel. As far as the Kivshan Eish, that was Hanani Mishal Bazaria. Again, the Pasuk describes it as being in Bikas Dura, in the valley of Dura, but apparently that's close enough to the city of Bavel that it can be counted. With that said, by the way, there are Rishonim who learn, I think the Rosh holds this way among others, that it's not just if you see the particular Goyv Shalarois with the particular Kivshana Esh that Daniel or Hanani Mishal Bazaria were in, they hold that if you see anyone, then you would make the bracha because it's reminiscent of the nest that happened to Daniel, Hanani, Mishal, Bazaria in these places. So if you see any pit where lions have been kept, according to that opinion, or any furnace where limestone is burnt to make bricks, to make lime, which is what Hanani, Mishal, Bazaria was thrown in, according to that opinion, and you see one anywhere in the world, you would make a bracha that Hashem saved Daniel and Hanani, Mishal, Bazaria respectively from such places. But according to other poskim, and I think this is the accepted halacha, is you only say it for the particular one that Daniel was thrown in and the particular one that Hanani Mishal Bazai were thrown into. Anyway, so when you see them in Babel, then you make a bracha thanking Hashem for doing nisim for our ancestors in this place. There are Rishonim who have the girsa instead of Laviseinu, let's sadiki. And they say that seems more logical because, after all, not necessarily is any given yid now descended from Daniel, descended from Hanani Mishal Bazaria, but they're tzaddikim, and therefore that's the appropriate nusach of the bracha. They also talk about, by the way, even though normally you don't make a bracha for a nes for a yachid. We learned at the beginning of the perek that a person himself for whom a nes happened in a place, so he and his descendants make a bracha when they pass by that place. But you don't have, let's say, for example, if a nes happened to me, you wouldn't say a bracha when you pass by there. But when we're talking about tzaddikim, who the whole Jewish people, they're anoshim b'suyamim, they're distinguished people among the Jewish people, then yes, it's appropriate to say a bracha even though we're not necessarily descended from them, because it made a kiddush Hashem that was known over the whole world. Anyway, so that's the third bracha. The fourth one, Ra Merkulis, if you see a Merkulis statue over there, and again, that not necessarily Merkulis, according to many opinions, but whatever, the point is it was a popular Avodah Zarah in that part of the world. So you say that bracha, like you would for a Merkulis anywhere else. And the fifth one, Ra Mokam Shenot, the Menu Offer, if you see a place in Bavel from which they take dirt. The idea being, Rashi describes, there's a place in the city of Bavel where any animal that passes by that place will be unable to move from it unless you take some of the dirt from the ground over there and put it on the back of the animal. So it's part of the klala of Bavel, like the place is going to be so desolate that even the dirt can't stay there anymore. Even the dirt is going to have to be removed on the backs of animals. So when you see that, and that's also the fulfillment of a promise from one of the Nevi'im, as we're going to quote in a few lines. So then you say, Omer Baruch, Omer Va'osa, Gozer Makayim. You say the bracha, thanking Hashem that he does, and he makes it happen, and he makes a decree and fulfills it. Hashem decreed that Babel is going to be destroyed and desolate forever, and that even the dirt of it is not going to remain there. And you see it, taka happen. So the Gemara gives an example. Rava ki avachozi chamri the shakli afra, when Rava would see donkeys that were carrying dirt from there. So Rava, when he would pass by the city of Babel, and he would see, sure enough, there are donkeys carrying dirt from there on their backs, because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to leave. Torif lehu yadar gabayhu, he would pat them with his hand on their back. And he would say, Ruhutu tzadiki lemebed ruusa demaraychu. Tzadikim, run to do the will of your master. In other words, your tack of fulfilling Hashem's curse on Babel. So by all means, I'm complimenting you animals that even though you don't know better, you're actually fulfilling what Hashem is saying to do. Similarly, Ma'a Brei de Ravina, ki havin moti leBavel, when Ma'a Brei de Ravina would visit the ruins of Babel, have a shokel afra besudre, he would take dirt from there and wrap it up in his sudr, which is a scarf or a turban or something like that, v'shodi leBora, and he would throw it out someplace else from there. Like not just whatever dirt happens to stick to his feet or whatever we'd carry out with him, he'd specifically make a point of carrying some of the dirt out there with him wrapped up. All of this is to fulfill what the Navi says about Babel, I will sweep it with the broom of destruction. So in other words, it's like it'll be swept clean, like with a broom, where even the dirt is moved away from there and taken someplace else. There's also the point. Rashi brings another explanation. They use the dirt of this place to use for tits, to use for mud to build the local buildings. So the point is, either way, it's the same thing. In other words, that dirt is not even left there to just be alone. The point is, nobody lives there, nobody grows anything there. The dirt is taken from there to build in other places. So Marsha points out. Therefore, so you actually have the word matate, the word v'tete tia, but matate hashmei then has a double meaning to it. It's related to the word matate, which in fact means a broom. The Gemara tells us in a couple of places that the Talmidim of Rebbe didn't understand what that pasuk meant, but then they heard Rebbe's maidservant saying to one of the other maids, take a tatisa and tati the house, and then they realized that it means a broom. And the other possibility then is, according to Rashi's second explanation, the word v'tete tia, but matate hashmei is related to the word tit, which means mud. Like all the dirt the Babel is good for is mud for building. So those are the five brachas that you say when you visit Babel. So Rav Ashi says, I hadn't heard of the statement of Rav Hamnuna, but when I visited Babel, I realized on my own das that it's appropriate to make these brachas. And so I said that. Since we're mentioning the klala of Babel, the Gemara mentions another point about it. When Babel was cursed, not only it was cursed, but also its neighbors, the nearby areas also suffered from it. On the other hand, but on the other hand, Hashem also cursed Shomron, the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim, that it's going to be destroyed, but Hashem cursed it in a way that others will end up benefiting. In other words, Anaf Yosef explains the difference is that Bavel was their measure of Averis was filled up, and therefore they needed to be punished. And they had already received their full Olam Haza. Therefore, there's nothing left for them in Olam Haza, and therefore even their neighbors end up suffering from it in the spirit of Olam Rasha Olam Shechina, as opposed to the Jewish people. It's not for the Jewish people. Hashem doesn't punish them for the sake of punishment. Hashem punishes them in order to give them good, to punish them for their averus, and then afterwards to be able to give them good. So therefore, so Rabbi Yemi is saying that therefore, so Hashem does it in a way when he punishes Shomron for the Jewish city, that at least the neighbors end up benefiting. So where do we see that? Niskala Bavel Niskala Shchenah Dichtiv. The pasuk says that in that same nevuah, v'teteteva matate hashmed, a few psukim away, it says v'samtiel. I think it's actually the beginning of the same pasuk. V'samtiel amodash kipoid va'agme mayim. And the Navi says in Hashem's name, I'll make the place it'll be inherited by kipoid and pools of water. So kipod, yesterday we talked about the kipod. Rashi had translated over there as a morta and a kind of fox-like animal. Another translation is another possible translation as a hedgehog. Another possible meaning of a kipod is some kind of wild bird. Here, I think on the pasuk, Rashi explains it that way. And agme moyim and pools of water where they breed mosquitoes and other such things. So you see that the neighbors also end up suffering from that. These wild birds or whatever kind of creature kipod is end up invading the nearby areas. And the pools of water that you have there in Bavel also are not very healthy. On the other hand, niskala shomen, this is swamps of water, that would be the good word. Niskala shomen, this baruchu shcheneha. On the other hand, shomen was cursed in a way that the neighbors benefit from it. Dichtiv, the Navi says, v'samti shomen l'i hasada, I will make shomen into a heap in the field, l'matoi korem, to a place where vineyards will be planted. So in other words, even though Marashah says that, it's better that there should be a city there where people are living, and then especially the Jews themselves should be able to live there. But by comparison, at least we're saying it's going to become a place, so the neighboring Goyim will plant vineyards over there, so it's still not as bad as Bavel, which ends up being a very unhealthy place and then desolate and full of wild animals. The Gemara goes on, Tananabon, and Haroya Bote Yisrael B'Yishuvan, when a person sees Jewish houses that are well settled, he says the bracha Baruch Matziv Gvul Amana, blessed is Hashem, who restores the boundary of the widow. So Rashi explains this would be talking about during the time of the Bais Sheni. So they were already a widow, like a widow, at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, Hoisak Amana. Now Hashem restored them to their greatness, so therefore it's appropriate to make a bracha on that. There are other Rishonim who learn actually that no, you would only say that on things like shuls, and maybe also only in Eretz Yisrael. This is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that the Olam is noyig to only say this on shuls. And again, you have it may be the same thing as before. Also, where if you see shuls regularly, then you're not going to make the bracha. Only like if you haven't said bichlal, you have with a number of these brachas as machloekas Rishonim whether. With some of these brachas, is it that you say them only once in your life? We're going to talk about later on, for example, the ones like Mashana Habrias, you maybe only say them once in your life when you first notice it and are startled by it, or maybe you can say them once in 30 days. So here you have a similar discussion when it comes to this. When you see them destroyed, then you say, blessed is Hashem, the true judge. Like you say when a relative passes away, Rahman al-Fan. When you see houses of Avodah Zarah that are well settled, then you don't say an actual bracha on it, but you say the pasuk Hashem will uproot the houses of the proud people. Yisach means to uproot. When they're destroyed, then you say Hashem of vengeance appear, meaning Hashem has taken his revenge and his vengeance on them and done to them what they deserve. So in this connection, talking about when you see Jewish houses that are well settled and comfortably situated, then you say a bracha for it. So the Gemara says in this connection, Ula v'Rav Chista havo ka'azli ba'urcha. One time Ula and Rav Chista were walking on the road. Ki matu apischa deber abchona b'chaniloi. When they passed by the doorway of what had used to be the house of Rav Chona b'chaniloi, nogid Rav Chista v'atmach. Rav Chista, nogad literally means like he bent over v'asnach and he sighed. Meloshen anoch. Omalei ula amai kametnachas. So Ula asks him, why are you sighing? What's the matter? And you should know, sighing is krechzing is not really good for you. Rav says that a sigh breaks half of a person's body. Shenemar is as Hashem says to the Navi before the Churban, you Ben Adam, which is Hashem's name for Yumi for Yechezkel throughout his Sefer, he onach, you should groan, b'shivren masnayim b'gomer, with breaking of loins, meaning Hashem is telling him that he should start krechting and sighing over and when people ask him, the next pasuk continues, people are going to ask you, what are you doing? Tell him that this is because the Churban is going to come and then everybody is going to be doing that. So Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't just break half. So the point is, since we're mentioning breaking of the loins, and the loins, the waist, is in the middle of the body, then therefore we see it breaks half of a person's body, half of a person's strength. Rabbi Yochanan says it actually breaks the entire strength of the entire body of a person. Shenema, the next pasuk continues in Yechezkel. They're going to ask you, why are you krechting? And you answer them that when you hear the news of the Churban, and he goes on to mention effects that are going to be on the whole body. The nomis kolev, the rofu kol birkayim, the chiyas kol ruach. Every spirit will be weak. So we see that it affects the whole body, not just half of it. In fact, Ben Yehoyada says it depends. If you're talking about a gashmiyistik of pain, then sighing about it breaks half of his body. If you're talking about a ruchniyistik of one, then it's the whole body. Anyway, so Ula asks him, so you shouldn't krechts unless you really need to. What's the matter now that we're passing by the ruins of Reb Chana Bar Chanilai's house and you're krechtsing? Amalei, so Reb Chista said, hey, chila asnach, how should I not sigh? You pass by a place. I want to tell you what a Baal Tzedakah used to live over here. You're going to realize yourself what a tragedy. They had in this house 60 women baking by day and 60 by night. 60 a lot of times is an indefinite large number, but the point is they had a large number of bakers there. So they would always be baking bread for anybody who needs. So this way, anytime a poor person comes, there's right away fresh, hot bread for him to eat. And Reb Chana Bar Chaniloi, the Baal HaBayis over there, would never take his hand out of his money bag, because he figures, what if a poor person from a respectable family comes and he's asked for tzedakah, by the time I stick my hand into my money bag, then he'll be embarrassed and he'll go away. So this way, like Reb Chana wants to save the extra couple of seconds that it might take, like this, the guy finally screws up his courage enough to be able to ask for money, and if you don't give it to him that instant, then he may be embarrassed and just go away. So therefore, Reb Chana would want to save the extra couple of seconds. So therefore, he always kept his hand inside his money bag. So this way, if a poor person comes like that and asks right away, he doesn't even have to yet. The two, and furthermore, continues Rav Chista, have a psichin le dalad bavi le dalad ruchsa d'alma. There were four doorways in this house in the four directions, like Avraham Avinu's tent. V'chol d'hava oyo kofin, and anybody who went in there hungry, nofet kisava would go out satisfied because Rav Chana and his family would give him plenty of food, like Kalva Savor. And on top of that, during years of famine, Reb Chana Bar Chaniloi would scatter wheat and barley outside the house. Anybody who's too embarrassed to come and ask for tzedakah by day, he could come by night. So by now, by night, the house is going to be closed up. You can't come in, but like this, they would still be able to find. A person would come around by night, and he'd find there would be wheat and barley outside available for taking. So with all of that, hash and nofel betila, now this house is collapsed and is a heap of ruins. Veloy atnach, you want me to not sigh because you don't want it to break my body? For such a thing, you got to krecht. Omalei, so Ula tells him, it's true, but hochi omer Rabbi Yochanan, you should know, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not just a chidush with Reb Chana Bar Chaniloi's house. This is a general thing. Miyoyim shechorav Beis HaMikdash, ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, nigzer gzeira al batayim shal tzadikim sheyichorvu. There is a gzeira made on the houses of tzadikim that they will be destroyed. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, but oznoi Hashem tzvokas, the Navi says, in my ears, Hashem spoke and said as follows, imloi botim rabim mashama you, if not, which is a lashon of a shvur, meaning it certainly will be, that many big houses will become a wasteland, gdolim v'tovim, big ones and good ones, me'en yoshev, and nobody will dwell there, which means, Marsha explains, the gdolim v'tovim refers to the tzaddikim. So in other words, botim rabim means poshet, the houses that are large physically, and gdolim v'tovim means that they belong to tzaddikim. And still, the Navi is saying, Hashem said in my ears, meaning Hashem told me very clearly that these houses are going to be desolate and destroyed. Ve'omer Rabbi Yochanan, but continues Ula to Rabbi Chista, don't worry, it's not a permanent thing. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir on the Yeshuvan. In the future, Hashem will restore those houses and they will be dwelt in like they were before. Shenemar, Habotchem Hashem Kautzien, remember, as the Pasuk says in Tilim, those who trust in Hashem, like Kautzien, whereas the Pasuk continues, Lo Yimot, it won't fall over, Lo Olam Yeshev, it will be dwelt in forever. So what's the comparison between Habotchem Hashem and Kautzien? Maharsha explains, the point of the question is, what are you saying? That we trust Hashem as much as we trust Haritzion? That's backwards. You trust in Hashem more than you trust in Haritzion. So it means, in other words, the Pasuk is making comparison. Those who trust in Hashem, their houses will be like Haritzion. So Ma Haritzion, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lachzir LeYeshuvah, just like Haritzion, Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem in the future will restore it to be in its settled state like it was before, and even greater, after Tein Shal Tzadikim, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lachzir LeYeshuvah, so Hashem will also do with the houses of the Tzadikim who trust in Him. So yes, I understand, Reb Chista, you're upset over what happened with this house, but you should know it's a general gzeder that Hashem made during the time of Golus, but Lasid Lava, it'll be fixed up and it'll be back to the way it's supposed to be. But Chazir Dele Miyasva Daite, but still Ula saw that didn't set, that didn't appease Reb Chista. He's still worried about it. Amalei, so he says to him, you know what, Dayel Evetri Hekirab. It's enough. Think of it this way. It's enough that the servant should be like his master. If the master's house, the Beis Hamikdash, is destroyed, you can't expect the servant, even a tzaddik, like Reb Chanan, even a Baal Tzedakah, like Reb Chanan Bar Chaniloi, that his house should be any better off. Or Eitz Yosef says another point also. It means that Iyun Yaakov and Eitz Yosef, and so Iyun Yaakov says a different word. He says that it means that even Hashem is upset over the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed. So it's enough. So it's enough for the Eved to be doing the same thing, but you don't need to go beyond that. Eitz Yosef says somewhat similarly. He says, listen, you know, even for the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it's Avelus Yishana. For certain purposes in halacha, we consider it's an old Avelus, and therefore we don't have it always on top of our minds. So the same thing, you don't need to be thinking that way about this either. Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan Haroya Kivri Yisrael. By the way, a number of the pieces that we have here in Ein Yaakov are out of order in the Gemara. There's actually a large piece on Nun Chesem and Aleph, which it leaves out over here, and for some reason it has it later in the almost at the end of the Masechta. Again, why Rabbi Yaakov ben Chaviv did that, I have no idea. But yeah. So a number of the pieces over here also are a little bit out of order in the Gemara. So Tanan Rabbanan Haroya Kivri Yisrael. If a person sees kvarim of Jews, Oimer, he says the bracha, but we have this in the main lashon. Baruch Hashem Yotzer Eschemadin, blessed is Hashem who created you with judgment, v'zon Eschemadin, and sustained you with judgment, v'chilkal Eschemadin, v'zon means he gave you food, v'chilkal Eschemadin, and sustained you in all the other ways, v'din, with judgment, v'osef Eschemadin, and Hashem gathered you in when it was time for you to die, with din, v'osef l'akim Eschemadin, and in the future Hashem will raise you up, by tches ha'nesim, with judgment. So Maharsha explains each of these things. So many of these things, we find that there was din involved when it came to Hashem creating the human being, to creating Adam and Chava. So we know Hashem combined together midas hadin with midas harachmin. So therefore, there was din involved over there. When it comes to zonas chambadin, so many of these things actually, you actually have those chesed involved. Zonas chambadin, for example, is primarily chesed. However, Maharsha says that even that you have, for example, that Hashem decides every year, Rosh Hashanah, whether a person is going to have a generous panasa or just barely make ends meet. So therefore, there is din involved in that as well. And ultimately, v'osef eschamadin, and then the passing away obviously is gvura, is din. The nusach that we have in the minor lashon is slightly different because there are actually different nuschos that the rishonim have. So the nusach that we have in the minor lashon is the nusach that the Alter Rebbe has in Hilchos Birkas Hananim. Ma bredi Ravina speaking in the name of Rav Nachman said that you have to finish off the bracha with more. V'yedeya mispar kochem. You also add the point Hashem knows the number of all of you. You shouldn't think, in other words, that any mess is forgotten by Hashem. And Hashem in the future will bring you alive and to keep you alive, and you finish off Baruch Machaya HaMesim. So that's the entire bracha. Again, the nusach that we have is slightly different, has a few more words here and there, but it's the same basic idea. That's when you see Jewish graves, kivra od kechavim, when you see graves of goyim, oimer, you should say the pasuk, boisha imcha megoimer, the whole pasuk of boisha imcha ma'od, your mother is very embarrassed, your mother can sometimes also mean your nation as a whole, chofri yaladachem, the one who gave birth to you ought to be humiliated, hine achris goyim midbatsiya ba'arava, behold, the end of the nation, the future of the nations, is an empty, deserted wasteland. So in other words, we're saying they're not going to have tchias amesim, they're not going to have all of these things that we're talking about in the bracha for Jewish kvarim. Here also, by the way, the din is, if you haven't seen Kvarim in 30 days is when you make the bracha. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Haroyes Chaver L'Achal Lamed Yom. If a person sees his friend after 30 days, he hasn't seen him in 30 days, then he says the bracha Shech Yon. Tosfos says it would have to dafka be where it's a friend who's really close and dear to him. Otherwise, not. It's brought also in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that by the same token. Now later on in the parak mentions that when a person has a baby boy, then he may says the bracha atoy v'ametiv. So for a girl, you don't say that. But on the other hand, the post can say, you say Shech Yonu, because listen, you know, you love your daughter no less than you do a good friend. So if nothing else, you should be saying Shech Yonu when you see her for the first time. In general, I think we say that doesn't apply if you've heard from the person within 30 days. So nowadays, it's somewhat uncommon to be able to make the bracha because inevitably you've talked to them on the phone, you've written letters, you've whatever. So therefore, it's very unlikely to say the bracha. Also, it has to be a close friend. If you haven't seen him in 12 months, then you say the bracha baruch machaya mesim. And the idea is, why 12 months? So Marisha explains, every 12 months, every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a person is judged whether he's going to live through the next year. So if you see him, one year, and then the next time you see him is after the next Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so he's been judged, and obviously Hashem decided that he should still live. So therefore, you're saying, Baruch Machayah Mesim, that he was saved from that judgment. Omer Rav, so in this connection, the Gemara says, and Marisha says, this is the connection, since a person tends to be forgotten, a mess tends to be forgotten after 12 months. So now, instead, you're happy that the person wasn't forgotten and he's still around. Omer Rav, ein a mess mishtakeach min alev, el la'acha shnei mas chodesh. A dead person is forgotten from the heart only after 12 months. Shenema, as the pasuk says, nishkachti kimeis milev, David says about himself, I've been forgotten like a dead person from people's minds. Ha'isi kichli oved, I was like a lost keli. Now, a lost keli, after 12 months, in general, we say a person has been miyayish. The Gemara mentions in Eila Metzias that after 12 months, we normally assume that a person has had yush, so he's forgotten his keli, in the same way then people forget a mess after that time. And the Medrash says, I mean, it's a bracha. Hashem made it that way, because otherwise people would never be able to continue on with life. They say, by the way, in this connection, for example, that this is why, for example, when Yaakov was mourning for Yosef for 22 years, that's how he had some kind of inkling that Yosef really is alive. That's why he never says on him that he's dead. He just says that he's missing. Yosef Einenu, for example, because the very fact that he hadn't forgotten him after 22 years gave him some kind of reason to think that Yitzhak is still alive. So in this connection, now the Gemara, the Ein Yaakov is leaving out again a part over here in the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to mention more Birkas Ra'iyah. There's the bracha that you say when you see a chacham, when you see a chacham from the Jewish people, that you say shecholak mechachmasi le'yireyav, and when you see a chacham of Umas Olam, and when you see a Jewish king, when you see a Goyish king. Then in that connection, the Gemara also mentions that there's a bracha you say when you see 600,000 Jews together. You say a bracha baruch chacham harozim. That Hashem is the wise one of all secrets, and there's a couple of major explanations. We're gonna actually have that later on. What? So when you see a chacham from the goyim, so that, like, for example, a great scientist or whatever, so you say the bracha shenasan mechachmasi levasav adam. Hashem gave some of his chachma to flesh and blood. So the difference is when you see a Jewish chacham, then you say on him shecholak. That Hashem gave a portion, because a yid is a chelik of the tani ma'al mamash, as opposed to a goy, you use the expression shenosan, like you're giving to a third party. And by a yid, you say she liyareyav, the ones who fear him, whereas by a goy, you say the boss of a job. And you have a similar thing with Jewish kings versus goyish kings, that a Jewish king, you would say shecholak mikvoide le shecholak mikvoide liyareyav, a goyish king, you would say shenosan mikvoide le boss of a job. So there is going to be, as I said, later on, closer to the end of the Masechta, there is a huge piece of the Gemara of that, which for some reason the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov put completely out of place, put it much later in Os Kuf Mem, but there we're going to deal in more detail with those brachas, but here now he's bringing a piece of Gemara that relates to that. So the Gemara says that when you see Uchlusa, which means a gathering of 600,000 Jews together, then you make a special bracha, Baruch Chacham HaRozi. Hashem, blessed is Hashem, who is the one who knows the secrets. And there's a few different explanations what that symbolizes. One is that there's the idea when you have 600,000 people together, you have every possible kind of das that's there. And Hashem knows all of them. Hashem understands each one's mind individually, which no boss of a dumb possibly could. And the other idea is that even those 600,000, as much as they know between all of them, there are still things, there are high levels of lakus that even they can't understand. And therefore, you're making the bracha for that also, that Hashem's das, that Hashem's chachma exceeds all of theirs combined and is far higher than all of theirs combined. Anyway, so in this connection, the Gemara says, Rapapa of Ravuna Bredi Rishua have a Ka'azli Baruchah. Rapapa and Ravuna Bredi Rishua were traveling on the road. Pogube, but of Chanina Bredi of Ika. They met up with Chanina Bredi of Ika. Omrule, so they, Rapapa and Ravuna Bredi Rishua said, Bahadi de Chazinach, as soon as we saw you, Barchin and Allah Tauti, we said two brachas on you. Number one, Baruch Shecholach Nechachmasi Liyureyav, because you're a Chacham of Torah, and therefore you say that bracha, and B'Shechiyonu, and also Shechiyonu, because we hadn't seen you in 30 days. Amalavu, so now he says to them, Anonami, I also, Kibin Dechazi Sinchu, when I saw you, Chashavtun Ilavak Samach Ribavan Yisrael, I considered you as significant, you two Chachamim together, are as significant as 600,000 Jews. Uvarich Na'alaychu Gimel, so I said three barachas on you. Hanach Beis, the two that we just mentioned, u'baruch hacham harozim, as well as that. That they didn't like. Omru lei hakimas kulehai. They said to him, are you so wise? Yahavi be'einayhu, they put their eyes on him with shachiv and he passed away. Now what's going on over here? Are you talking because of that he should pass away? So there's a number of different explanations. The Bach actually gives an explanation on the tour when it talks about this bracha in the tour. The Bach says on it that they, in effect, they were saying that, look, to be able to say something like that, to actually know that you see two chachamim and to understand that they have in them all of the yediyah, all of the different deis of 600,000 Jews, that for that, you would have to be on a very high level to do that. But on the side of it here, Yad Yosef brings a thing from the Ramban and the Tzlach that says along those lines, it's more that they were saying, where did you get to be such a chacham that you think you know such a thing? The Bach makes a different point, which is they're telling him, in effect, what you did is you made a bracha levatala. You can't make a bracha. You can't make up brachas or circumstances for brachas on your own. So if they did that, then they're holding it against him that he did such a thing, that he's coming up with an idea of making a bracha on his own, where the brachas were made by the Anshe Knesset Sagdola and by the later Chachamim. A person doesn't have the right to just compose and invent brachas of his own or times to make brachas on his own. So there's that. That's the Bach. Again, the Yad Yosef on the side over here brings a long thing from the Ramban and a similar thing from the Tzlach, that the idea is, in particular, part of the bracha chacham harozim, the Gemara goes on to say that just like no two people have the same face, the same way no two people have the same level of das. Now, when you see 600,000 people then, so you have every possible kind of face and every possible kind of das represented, therefore you say this bracha. He's saying that I have the ability to realize on your faces what enormous chachamim you are, that you are the equivalent of 600,000 Jews. So they're telling him, where do you think you got that from? Where do you think you have this chachmas apartzuf, this ability to be able to look at people's faces and know what they really are? And therefore that caused an ayin hara. And there are various other explanations as well. The Smichas Chachamim gives a long explanation on it something along the lines of that when they told him we said these two brachas, so he realized that they were trying to hint to something, and he was able to grasp the hint without them saying anything further, and therefore they're saying that it's an unusual kind of chachma to grasp that kind of hint without anything further. And he has a whole long arichos of exactly what it was that they were hinting and what it was that he's answering back with his statement. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Haroyes Abahakonim. If a person sees people with freckles, Oyma Baruch Mashana Abrius, then he says the bracha on them that Hashem makes his creatures different. Now again, many of the poskim say that you would only say that if it's the first time in your life that you ever saw such a person. So then it has a tremendous impact. You know, whereas we see all the time people with freckles, so there's no chiddush in it. The Moses Mace, we have a contradiction. A Brisa says, Haroyes a Kushi, if a person sees a black-skinned person, literally Kushi means an Ethiopian, but in general, a black-skinned person. Remember, again, in those times, black-skinned people lived mostly in Africa. If you lived in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel or what have you, you would very rarely come across one. That's a gicher, or a person who is very red, much red, very much redder than normal. That's a lavgan, or an albino, somebody who is very pale white. That's a kipeach, or a kipeach. Rashi gives two explanations. One is a person who has a big stomach, and his stomach is so big that relative to that, it looks like he's shorter than normal, because like proportionally, it looks like he's shorter than he ought to be. The second explanation, Rashi says, is a person who is very tall and his face looks like it's falling down and sticking out. You have actually, there's a medical condition called acromegaly. You have sometimes a person keeps on developing growth. Normally a person has a period of growth, where usually a person reaches their maximum height around 18 or so, and then they stop growing. Sometimes you have a person where they keep on having this growth hormone produced as they get older. What happens is they don't get any taller, but among other things, their hands and feet and face keep on growing and become larger. So it could be that's what Rashi is referring to over here. They have a tall person whose face looks very misshapen. So that's the second explanation of Kipeach. There's a nanos, or dwarf, a midget. There's hadarnikus, or a person sees a hadarnikus. Again, Rashi gives two explanations. One is that the person is covered with warts, and the other is that a person with warts. Warts. W-A-R-T-S. Warts, like growths on his skin. And the other explanation Rashi says is that his mouth is twisted. Which could be, for example, could be Bell's palsy, could be any number of different conditions. Anyway, so those are Baruch Mishana Esabrias. So you say for them, so for those you say Mishana Esabrias, but the Braisa continues, Esakiteya, if you see a person whose hands had to be amputated, Ves Asumar, or a blind person, Ves Psuya Herosh, or a person whose hair is matted, like you have their hair isn't normal, it's like matted together. That's a chigger, or lame person. That's a mukashchin, or a person who's covered with boils. That's a bakonim, or a person with freckles. Or a baruch dynamis. So you say baruch dynamis on it. Rabbi Shrovan Levi is saying that you say mishan abrias on it. So what is it? The answer is like kasha homim e'imei habosad esyalim. Depends whether he was born that way or whether the condition developed only later. If he was born that way, you say mishan abrias. If it developed later, you say dynamis. The poskim say you would only say dynamis only if it's something that really bothers you. So for example, only if it's a close friend or someone like that, not Sam, you see somebody on the street. So Gemara says, De Kanami. In fact, you can see that. Tikatoni Jumi de Kitea. After all, it's mentioned similar. Bryce mentioned a whole list of people that you say die in Amazon, and the first one was a person whose hands were amputated. He wasn't born that way, they were amputated afterwards. Therefore, we see that the whole rest of that list is things that develop later in life. The Gemara continues, if a person sees an elephant or a monkey or a kipoif, which again, there's a few different possibilities what a kipoif is. Rashi says that it means Rashi used the word valtir, which sounds like it means a vulture, but Rashi describes that it has cheeks like a human being. So a pashtus, it's really some kind of owl, like we talked about yesterday. Anyway, because all of those, again, they look in a way a little bit similar to a person, but they're very different. Rob Brias Tovis, Vivonis Tovis, if you see really beautiful creatures or really beautiful trees, then you say a bracha, blessed is Hashem, who has such things in his world. Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola, your test, Tovis. The straightforward way to Go'ola is to learn in Yoni Go'ola Mashiach. So at the beginning of the second paragraph of Pirkei Avos, you have the line that Rebbe says that the person should do Tiferes Loisev, Tiferes Lemin Adam. So Tiferes is the idea of learning Torah. Malchus Shabbat Tiferes specifically is learning about in Yoni Mashiach, learning in Yoni Melech Mashiach, and in Yoni Go'ola that are explained in many places. So in Torah Shebichsav, you have, as the Rambam says, the words of the Nevi'im, the Sfarim of the Nevi'im are full of things about Mashiach, and in Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara and Midrashim, especially in Pnimiyas HaTorah, beginning from the Zohar, Torah Sachsidus, from Rabbi Seinu Nesienu, especially the Torah and the Ma'amorim and the Sichas of Nesi Dorenu, which all of this is a preparation and ma'ain of the learning of Torah Sash HaMashiach, Torah Chadash Meditetsu. And increasing this Limina Torah in Yoni Ge'ulo Mashiach, of Malchus Shebichsav, that is, as Rebbe says, HaDerech HaYeshu, a straightforward way to bring about the revelation and the coming of Mashiach and the goal of the Poyo Mamash. That's the straightforward way. Like Rebbe, is to learn in Yoni Gola Mashiach. Okay, continuing on the halachas of Baruch Priya Eitz and Hadama, when you have, and shakol, something that doesn't grow from the ground, meat, fish, milk, cheese, and all kinds of drinks except for wine and olive oil, you say shakol. in Shakol Niyah Bidvara, the Yudas with a comments. You find in some Sidurim with a segel, but in the Nusach, the way the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says. Now, Altarev also has is with a comments.